Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. Lottie and I are continuing the Rebels rewatch. Now, the following episodes were pre-recorded this past summer. We are now posting all of Season 1 here on Star Wars Hangout. If you have thoughts on Rebels Season 2, get those transmissions in ASAP, and we'll feature you on the show. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.
Obi-Wan, may the Force be with you.
Welcome back to a galaxy far, far away. I'm your host, Ezra, the flannel space wizard, Y-wing enthusiast. Hey, it's not so hard to say that. Call sign, Gold Leader. And we are back with our Rebels rewatch. Today we are discussing Season 1, Episode 15, the season finale, Fire Across the Galaxy. But before we dive into the episode, let's check in with our trusty Padawan learner, the Princess of Bright Tree Village, my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie.
Hey guys, it's me, Lottie. I don't know what's going on. Are you trying to channel my voice over there? Because that was ridiculous. I do not sound like that.
I don't know. We just decided on the spot that I would do your intro today. And That's my interpretation of it.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just looking at the butterflies at the window, and I'm hoping one of them comes over and lands on my arm. You know?
How do you know?
That's what... Oh, my gosh. Sweetie, I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
Drinking my coffee, ready to talk about the season finale here of Rebels. And I have just been, I don't know, something about May and springtime gets me fired up. I'm just ready to go. May the 4th will be coming up, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some pretty good deals on video games. There's always a lot of Star Wars stuff on, mm-hmm. on sale for May the 4th. So let me see.
An Obi-Wan costume.
That would be awesome.
Example.
That would be awesome. I think when we drop this, the day we drop this, because we actually recorded this on Sunday, I think it will be May the 4th. So you know what?
Let's go. Yeah. Happy May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you. Can you say that?
May the fourth be with you.
Wow.
That's not easy.
Yeah. Did you know there's also like people like to continue it and they like to keep it going? So they call May the 5th like Revenge of the 5th.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I did not.
Yeah. And then I think for 6th, do they do, is it Return of the 6th? I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway. It's just a lot of fun. Maybe it's the 6th that they do that on. I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be fun. It's a fun time for Star Wars fans. And, you know, we've got some cool stuff coming out. It's going to be Star Wars Celebration at the end of the month. So this is sort of like the pre-hype. You know, it's sort of like this week is where you get ready. You start playing your Star Wars games. You start reading your Star Wars books, looking at the news, getting ready to go. There were some leaked images for Kenobi. Interesting stuff. Certain bounty hunter was going to show up in it and everything. So there's been some really kind of cool stuff that's happening. Cool. And we have some special guests that are going to be there at Star Wars Celebration.
Obviously,
and
yeah.
I just cannot wait to watch all of that and to cover it. So
yes, it'll be fun. And it starts on a Thursday or Friday?
I think Thursday night is what they do some stuff, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I think the live stream might start on Friday. I have to go back and mm-hmm. look. Because the last couple celebrations I've been there, so I haven't actually been following the live stream. I've been on the live stream, actually. So
cool.
Crazy. Anyway. All right. So let's dive into the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's just knock this out because we're like ready to move on to like season two. I mean, mm-hmm. we are like pumped because I would say that Fire Across the Galaxy is sort of that episode that, well, I'll let you talk about this in a second, just the way season one feels as a whole and why it's good, maybe what it sort of feels like. So let me read the summary and then I'll let you do that real quick. So, okay. So Fire Across the Galaxy, the crew of the Ghost sees an Imperial transport and use the TIE fighter that Zeb and Ezra had previously stolen to infiltrate and disable Tarkin's Star Destroyer in the Mustafar system. Ezra goes and frees Kanan using the duck system while Hera and Sabine and Zeb attempt to secure an escape route. Ambushed in the engine room, Ezra and Kanan face the Inquisitor in a lightsaber duel, during which Ezra falls and is believed dead by Kanan. Abandoning his fear of losing Ezra, Kanan succeeds in destroying the Inquisitor's lightsaber and rupturing the ship's engine, into which the defeated Inquisitor cast himself to his death. Ezra reveals himself to be alive and to have gotten a scar during the battle, and escapes with Kanan. Both groups successfully emerge from the doomed destroyer with stolen ties. Chopper survives in the stolen transport alongside a number of other ships, and they all successfully escape into hyperspace. The rebels are greeted by Senator Organa and Fulcrum, the latter of whom is revealed to be Ahsoka Tano, who tells the group that they are just one cell of many working for a larger rebellion. On Lothal, Tarkin introduces Agent Kallus to Darth Vader, who has been selected by Emperor Palpatine to hunt the rebels in the Inquisitor's place. There we go. Big episode.
Mm-hmm.
Cool stuff. Lots of cool stuff. Before we get into all the details, how did you feel, like, as a whole, looking at season one? Like, you had some interesting thoughts, I think, about it.
Yeah. So that was so worthy of a good season finale, I think. And I'm so excited for the next couple of seasons. Because this season really, it almost felt like a little, you know, like, build up and you get to know the characters a little bit.
Yeah.
But now you're ready to go. Like, you're ready to start the big rebellion, or like at least like get together with the other rebels. And yeah, it's just like a nice introduction, the first season is.
Yeah.
And now I can't wait for the rest.
Yeah. So I guess you can kind of feel it building. And what I said is that, like, I feel like season one gets you used to the dynamics. You understand that Ezra's kind of into Sabine. Zeb's more of an older brother. Chopper, you know, he's got his own personality. Kanan and Hera are in love. There's something more going on there, right? That's her partner.
Yeah.
And they've become sort of this family.
Yes.
And they start to love one another, really care for each other. They're a really tight knit unit. And Fulcrum has been the big secret. Who is Fulcrum? Where are they taking their orders from? Sabine wanted information on that early on. Now we understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this rebel cell, I believe, was so important to the other rebel cells that when Chopper contacts Fulcrum and tells Fulcrum or Ahsoka what's happening, Ahsoka was already worried about protecting Ezra Bridger, protecting the rebel cell. Don't lose it at the cost of one individual. And now the whole cell, a really good rebel cell, could be at stake. So it's what causes the other rebel cells to say, it's time to go take care of them. Because they've been on their own, operating on their own. They lost one of their own.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get him back. And so it really forces all of them to come together. It's a really kind of a cool moment because they're like, we can't lose this unit.
Yeah.
And they think this is important. They think it's super important to get Kanan back. It must be. They wouldn't risk this if it weren't something that meant a lot to them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And like you said, Ahsoka mentioned Ezra over and over again. We need to protect him. We need to.
Yeah, to take care of him. You know, they don't know necessarily all the dynamics of the group or how much Hera maybe loves Kanan or what's happening. They're just taking orders, doing things, and they're a part of this larger group. But when you start to realize, okay, there was more here. I didn't realize how much Kanan meant or how valuable he was, whatever it might be, because Kanan is very valuable to Ezra.
Yes.
He needs to continue teaching him. He's valuable to all of them. And a lot of, I mean, just not just for that reason, but because he matters. He's an individual. Just like anytime Chopper is out there, they go back for Chopper. Got to get him. Risk your neck for him. Go get him. Help Zeb. You know, Zeb struggled with that early on with Ezra. The only reason he wasn't a part of the crew, Zeb was like, he's probably safer there than he is here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now off Lothal. He'll be okay. He didn't quite understand the Force connection that Hera and Kanan saw in him. And so, you know, But, it's a really, really cool episode. I thought it was kind of neat because you asked me earlier on the TIE fighter that Zeb and Ezra steal. Yeah, total paint job done to it. They definitely did stash it and keep it. It actually took me a second when you asked that question. I was like, where does that come back up again? But it's right here in this episode. They use it to get close, to get inside. It's a trap. It's programmed by Sabine to go in and disrupt or disable Tarkin's ship.
So they just get the signal. It's a TIE fighter, just like six other TIE fighters coming in. They don't really see the painting yet.
No.
They just get the signal. Okay, it's a friend, like, our friendly. TIE fighter. Yeah. Right. So.
Yep. They just saw it on the computer system. It logs. It checks out. All is good. Then it comes in like, oh, that's a regular. Something's been done to it. Let's go check it out.
They think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, he's like, I kind of like it. Yeah. Yeah. And then he's like, what the?
Yes. Here we go.
Yeah. So I think you asked the question, like, what was that? What were those things that were inside the TIE fighter that disabled Tarkin's ship? I don't know if you asked that question or not, but they're ion disruptors.
Okay.
I thought it was in your notes. Mm-hmm. And so what it does is just the electronics and everything in the system, it disables them. It's sort of like a power surge, like a pulse, and it just sort of it knocked the troopers unconscious. It sends an electrical current all the way through.
That's a powerful weapon they have.
Yeah. And from the inside out, it really was effective. And so it disabled, it overloaded all of the Imperial kind of circuits and computer systems and everything shut down. Mm-hmm. They went to life support and emergency power, which allows them then to go up with the transport and allow Ezra and everyone to kind of jump in from the side. Ezra cuts a hole through and in they go. They got to find Kanan. And he can feel and he can sense. He's going off of his feelings, trying to find his master.
Yeah.
As they're approaching, a really cool moment where Kanan's eyes are closed and he's meditating, trying to get through the pain. And he senses Ezra.
Yeah.
And his eyes pop open. Right. You know? And he's like, oh, he's here. Really cool. And Ezra's doing it at the same time. Kanan. He can feel him. And actually, that's a callback to like episode 5 when Luke is hanging upside down and he's in big trouble. He's been beat by Vader. His hand's been cut off in episode 5. He's hanging underneath Cloud City, about to die, and he reaches out in the Force. He closes his eyes. He reaches out in the Force to Leia. And Leia's there and she can, like, her eyes are wide open and she just says, Luke. And she can tell Luke is calling to her and then turn the ship around. And Lando's like, what are you talking about? Right? You know? Like, turn around.
That, though, made me wonder, so Leia is never trained, but is she Force sensitive?
Yes, she is.
So she could have been a Jedi.
She could have been, yes.
She's just never trained.
Right. And we haven't got to the sequels yet. They talk a little bit about that in the sequels. But in Legends, in the what was before Disney bought all of this, there was tons of stories that you've seen all my books that talk about Luke and Leia and all of their kids and everything. Leia was a Jedi in Legends. So after episode 6, she's still Princess Leia.
Yeah.
And she's still, you know, whatever. She'll grow to a position of leadership, but then she's trained by her brother. She's trained in the ways of the Force. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's awesome. So let's see. In this, they finally make that connection. Ezra knows where he's at. He figures out the ship. They hop in there. Because they weren't sure if he'd been transferred to the prison yet.
Right.
Or is he on another transport? Is he somewhere else? Is Kanan actually on Tarkin's ship? They had to figure that out. So they finally do that. And then,
what's his name? Tarkin?
Tarkin.
Tarkin. Mm-hmm. Is he the one talking to Kanan and like reminding him of how his master died and trying to make him feel bad?
That's the Grand Inquisitor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. So was he there that he remembered, that he knows, or can he read Kanan's mind and see his memories?
A little bit.
How does he know? Okay.
Yeah. He does just sort of, he has sort of figured out that Kanan, just based on Kanan, he makes a guess about Kanan's master being Master Balaba.
Mm-hmm.
And just based upon training styles, because the Inquisitors studied. If they didn't have a confirmed kill on a Jedi or a Jedi Master or whatever, or their Padawan, they tracked them. They got into the archives and said, "Who's left? Who can we mark off and say, we for sure got these people, and who's left over?" So they studied who was left over, who were the runaway Padawans, who were the runaway apprentices.
Gotcha.
They've narrowed it down, and this could be Caleb Doom is his name. Previously, it's not Kanan Jarrus. It's Caleb Doom.
Oh, do we learn why you changed that in the series?
We might learn. You have to kind of infer that, like, just like Obi-Wan Kenobi changed his name to Ben. You know, he just goes by Ben.
Okay.
Right? They changed their name just because they're on the run. And
okay, yes.
I don't want to introduce myself as Obi-Wan Kenobi. This guy called himself Obi-Wan. You know.
Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he changed his name, and So that. His master, though, during I think he says the last word that his master said was to run.
Yeah.
And so then she sacrifices herself while he runs and gets away, and she saves her Padawan, which is huge. Because look, he's a rebel. He's fighting for the Rebel Alliance. He's still fighting on. He's training Ezra Bridger. You know, that sacrifice mattered. It's a big deal. But yeah.
I just read something interesting that so Ezra is 14 years old right now, right?
Okay.
That's exactly the age of how old Kanan was at the time when Balaba died.
And when his master died. Yeah, so his training's incomplete. And that's big, you know, Kanan, we've mentioned it a lot of times, but that's his problem is that he's like, I was never trained to full knighthood, but he gained experience. He kept learning. He kept in this battle with the Inquisitor. So as they're being carried out here, Ezra does fall and is sort of, you know, this moment where Master and Apprentice are fighting. It looks like a lot like Phantom Menace Episode 1 where Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan are fighting Darth Maul. But you have Ezra and Kanan fighting the Grand Inquisitor. And Ezra gets kicked off and you know, we think he's dead for a second. But Kanan realizes that what's the strongest thing that he has is the Force.
Yeah.
And that the power of the Force is where a Jedi kind of gets their strength. You know, Yoda says that the Force is my ally.
Yeah.
Darth Vader, when Obi-Wan Kenobi shows up, he says, Obi-Wan is here and the Force is with him. Mm-hmm. Something that Mace Windu said to Yoda is that should we let the Senate know that our ability to use the Force has diminished?
Mm-hmm.
Like as if basically what Mace Windu said is that the Force is no longer with us necessarily. Like it still was, it still used the Force, but in a way it was like they were not in one with the Force. Mm-hmm. They were not in step. They were deceived.
Okay.
By the dark side.
Oh yeah. Wow, okay.
So yeah. Just interesting. Yeah.
Remember I asked you, why do they always have to fight on a freaking bridge?
Yeah, I know, right? This definitely feels like Episode 1, and there's all these fights where it's up in a high spot and someone can fall down and everything. That's just a thing. It makes for more of an intense battle. That's sort of what I've heard from people who behind, you know, Lucasfilm and stuff, is that like it's just something George did. It just made it seem more like dangerous.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, it's
yes.
Like, oh shoot.
Yeah, I know. You can't. Yeah, you have to watch yourself. You can't fall. And then Ezra falls, and like Kanan doesn't even take the time to
check. Yeah.
Look, like, because when we get the cut from Ezra's perspective, it's like not that high. You would think like, oh, he fell down like,
right,
hundreds of meters.
Yeah, I know.
And
he's good.
He just looks up and it's right there. And if Kanan just looked like a little bit to the right.
All right. Yeah.
So, no, but I get why they did that. Because I actually love how then we see when he's like, he thinks Ezra's dead, he's like fighting with the dark side, and the Inquisitor is almost smiling again, like, oh, yeah, let's go. He's, you know.
Yeah. Except for he's not using the dark side.
No, wait. Oh, sorry. I'm getting there.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying he's fighting with it. Like, that he can feel this anger rising up, right? And loss and grief and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's like, he just takes a big breath.
Yeah.
He catches himself and calms himself down.
Yeah, he says, you're right, I was a coward, but now I know there's something stronger than fear, far stronger, the Force.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he says. So, yeah. Yeah.
And then the Grand Inquisitor just says, there's more to fear than death, or worse to fear than death.
Yep.
And he just drops down. He just...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He basically says that there are other things that are worse than death, and so he decides to fall in battle. Because really what that is there are consequences going back to Lord Vader and to Emperor Palpatine. And if he goes back to them, they're going to torture him. They're going to do who knows what. There's also, and actually a connection, and I can tell you this now, I guess, the Inquisitor, his essence or his spirit is, it's in one of the comic books, and I think it's in a canon comic book. His spirit is like trapped in some way, and he becomes an eternal kind of spirit that is used by Emperor Palpatine and guards some place. So like his essence or energy is harnessed, and Luke Skywalker ends up fighting him later on for something. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a weird, wow. It's a weird thing that happens in the comics, but it's like between the movies, and Luke will face him. I can't remember exactly what happens there, but
wow.
Yeah, it's just, so that's the kind of stuff he's talking about, is that Palpatine can do more to you. It's not just death. Death is sort of this, all right, cool, it's fine. But like, he can keep you suspended in some stasis form, and you're going to be around his servant or whatever. And yeah.
Wow, that's crazy, though, that he knows that. And he still decides to work with him, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
He knows what the consequences are if you fail.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So, Kanan defeats him. All is good. And he's happy to see Ezra. They have their moment, and then out they go. They get Governor Tarkin out of there because of his sort of the safety issues and stuff. They take the Inquisitor's TIE, which is pretty cool. So, they have the Inquisitor's TIE fighter. And they are harassed by a whole bunch of TIE fighters on their way out. Not so sure that they're going to make it. How are they going to get out of here? But then Chopper, boom, he comes back. And there are tons of cruisers with him. And they realize that Chopper is piloting the transport, and someone else must have been piloting Ghost, you know. So they realize it's Fulcrum, and it's Ahsoka who's piloting that, because she comes in there and just, they take out a whole bunch of TIEs, and so TIE fighters can't jump into hyperspace. They not on their own. They don't have a hyperdrive, so they have to be attached to other ships. That's why they go in close. And they get on the transport. These little things, domes drop down, and they connect. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get out of the TIE, and you shoot back up into the transport. Mm-hmm. And then once you're there and you're safe, away we go into hyperspace.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Tarkin gets off, and then he's told that the rebels have escaped. He just sort of looks around, angry look on his face. Mm-hmm. And then we'll come back to him here in a second. But the rebels are in hyperspace, and everyone comes up to find... Hera and Kanan first have a moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little kissy-kissy moment. They don't really show it, but in Star Wars, they say that, like, the equivalent of, I guess the way, this is sort of a joke, but not really, a kiss represents a lot more than what we would think, you know? That you were intimate in some way.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's just, they don't ever, Star Wars will never show any of that or whatever, but it's just like an extreme form of, so when you see little gestures of like a hug or a romantic moment, etc. Yeah, sort of interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in a documentary. It's one of the I think it's the episode 5, or it's one of the directors or producers talks about it. So yeah. Bail Organa though, yeah, pops up, and he says, and Kanan's like, I've met you before, I don't even know your name, but Hera does. His name is Senator Bail Organa. So you see that she had a lot more of the information, and knew sort of what was going on.
Which is probably good, because they knew they would go for the Jedis first. And if the Jedis know too much,
right,
they would easily... Well, not easily. We saw that Kanan didn't really... give any information. He said he would rather die, but still, if he had all the information and they had some kind of torture where they could get it out of him, yeah, that'd be very dangerous. And they would, it's less likely that they would go to Hera to torture her, and she has all the information, so that's cool. But tell me more about Ahsoka.
Because
I remember first time I saw her was when I watched The Mandalorian.
Yep, season 2.
I only watched that because of you.
Because of me. Yeah.
Because it just came out, and I thought, oh, you're into Star Wars. That's something so I could watch. So
you watched it. That's cool. I'm glad you watched it. Did you like it?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't got to that in our rewatch yet.
I love the music.
Yeah.
Love the music.
It's really good.
So cool.
So Ahsoka's in that, and she shows up, and she's like talking to Grogu and trying to get him to his right. You know, like a master, and some the Tython, all that kind of stuff. So Ahsoka is actually, at the end of this episode, we saw Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker. Ahsoka is his apprentice, is Darth Vader / Anakin's apprentice.
Wait, Darth Vader's or Anakin's?
Anakin's. So what you didn't see is you saw episode 2, right? In between episode 2, so at the end of episode 2, the Attack of the Clones, the Clone Wars start. The whole war between the droid army and the clone army starts. 6 or 7 years go by in between episode 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. During those 6 or 7 years, Anakin had an apprentice, and her name was Ahsoka Tano. And that's what the whole Clone Wars is about. I think they start off, like episode 1, Yoda brings young Ahsoka to Anakin and says, you know, at first he's like, I have a war to win. I have stuff to do. She's going to slow me down. Uh-huh. I don't need this kid with me. And Obi-Wan and Yoda agree that it might be good for Anakin. Like, it might help him to, might mature a little bit.
Yes.
Maybe assume a little bit more, like, responsibility. He has to be responsible for a Padawan learner, and he's not as reckless.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives him a lot of skills and helps him in a lot of ways. So she stays with him all through the Clone Wars. And at the end, at the very end, one of the final seasons, she's framed. She is framed by another apprentice for an assassination attempt or an attack of some kind. Mm-hmm. And she is exiled from the Jedi Order.
Okay.
Yoda and other members of the council, they exile her. They say she is no longer a Jedi. They kick her out. I'm kind of spoiling all of Clone Wars for you. But at the end, they realize they were wrong. They had the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
She was not to blame. It was this other apprentice, Barriss Offee. And they were totally, totally wrong. And Anakin's so mad about it. And this is before episode 3. He's all upset. You guys drove her away. And then he goes, he's like, Ahsoka, come back. They were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, this is not where I belong. This is not, I'm going to make my own way.
Okay.
And she does her own thing and she leaves. So she's not around. So episode 3, she's doing her own thing. She actually faces Darth Maul. She fights Darth Maul. She beats him, brings him before, like has him captured and everything. She helps the Mandalorians and stuff. It's awesome. Yoda even says, hey, you know, are you a Jedi? Did you do this as a Jedi? And she says, no, I did not do this as a Jedi. She's trained a Jedi. She's a Jedi Padawan apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons, I mean, she's exiled. So when you hunt for Padawan and apprentices, she's a former one, but she's an exile.
Okay.
So is she still a Jedi? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she is force sensitive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But she never shows up in one of the movies.
No, she does not. So,
because
they created Clone Wars as an in-between after episode 3. So, they filmed 1, 2, and 3.
Mm.
And then once that was done, they were done with the movies. And they said, okay, what else can we do? Well, we left a big gap. Let's do a Clone Wars gap with, like, let's talk about all the Jedi, like Mace Windu, Kit Fisto. They go through all of them. Plo Koon and Ki-Adi Mundi. They all have missions, and they talk about, like, what was Padme doing for all those years? So Padme is in a lot of those. Jar Jar Binks is in those. What did everyone do for 6 to 7 years of the Clone Wars?
Mm.
When Leia says, Obi-Wan, you fought with my father. You served with him in the Clone Wars. It's a whole period of time. You only see the beginning in the movies. You see the beginning of it.
Mm.
And then it goes on for 6 to 7 years. And then you see the end of it.
Mm.
They never showed us on film what happened. So they did the Clone Wars animated series to tell the story. And in that is when Ahsoka is, you know, introduced.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
I like her for some reason. I don't know much about her, but
cool. She's a fan favorite. People love her. Like, absolutely love her. And so she is very powerful, very strong. She was trained by Anakin.
Yeah.
So the chosen one. She's a big deal.
Right.
And she has her own book and everything prior to this. Like she goes on the run. She has to ditch her lightsabers. She, you know, all these things happen.
Wow.
Pretty cool. I can show you some clips.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, sweetie, what do you think of this season finale?
I like it. I think it's really good. I think it's cool because you did have the big drop was Ahsoka, and then now Vader is coming in. So you have Vader and his apprentice kind of like, you know, you're like, wow, okay, they're one's working for the Rebel Alliance, and then Vader is now tasked with hunting.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah,
now that you say that, Anakin, master and apprentice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then you have Kanan. You have Kanan and Ezra who are master and apprentice, right? And
that's so cool.
There's going to be a lot more depths to this with like the Force and Jedi and Sith and what's all really going on, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be really, really cool moving forward. I like it. I like that they went and rescued Kanan. It showed how much they cared about him and each other. And at various points, they were all kind of sticking their necks out for each other in season 1, and they really show that they're a team, that they care for each other. They joke, they make fun, but at the end of the day, like, Sabine cares for Ezra cares for all of them. They all care for Chopper and Zeb. Mm-hmm. Likewise, like, you know, yeah, what I mean? They're all equal members in this, yeah, in this crew. So that's sort of a big deal.
And I think they're all different species, right? Well, no, like Sabine, yeah, Ezra, and Kanan they're all
human.
Human?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Coming from different planets and stuff.
But
though,
then Ezra and Kanan, they're force sensitive. Sabine, yep, is a Mandalorian. So, mm-hmm, yeah, it's, yep, a really cool group. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Zeb is a Lasat, and then Hera is a Twi'lek. So.
By the way, I thought when we started the episode and Sabine was trying to distract the troopers.
Yeah.
It's funny that she always calls the troopers bucketheads when she's a buckethead herself.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. She's got, yeah, like, she's got a bucket on her head.
I mean, kind of, right?
Yeah. 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 For, yeah, sure. Yeah. It is funny. Also, she was like, they do something really simple that Dave Filoni kind of uses, but just having the character say, wow, you guys have gotten a little bit better with your shot and your aim. And she's like, but I've gotten a lot better. You know, and, yeah, it just, why she's flipping everywhere, she's doing different stuff.
Yes.
They did that to kind of, that's an easy way to say, no, I've leveled up. Like, this character, we're all leveling up. And when, mm-hmm, we go into season two, we have more powers. We have more things. There's more skills that we know. And it's just an easy way to tell kids that, oh, okay, they got better. Mm-hmm. Like, Sabine is getting better. They're, yeah, all getting stronger. They're all getting more intelligent. You know, just, yeah, growth throughout the series. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's really cool.
Yep, it's pretty awesome. So. Yeah. All right. I think that is it.
That's
for
season one.
Season one. Yeah. Season two. We'll start with season two, episode one, The Siege of Lothal, part one. The Siege of Lothal.
We have a two-parter.
Two-parter. Yeah. Yep. To start off. It's awesome. It is an awesome way to start season two. So we'll dive back into all of that. But friends, yeah, again, if you got thoughts, comments, you know, hit us up. Again, follow us over on social media at Charlotte Sue and at WompRat_2M. Follow Hyperspace Hangout on TikTok. You can follow our Fleur and Bill account, all those good things. We'd love to have you over there to chat more different fandoms, different stuff, different lore, all those good things. So, sweetie, this was fun. We,
yes,
got through season one.
I know. That
it's
was
cool.
So fast.
I know. It's an accomplishment.
So, three more.
Three more seasons, yes. The next ones are a little bit longer. They're, mm-hmm, they're actually 6 or 7 episodes longer.
Okay.
Per season. Not bad, though. Took an extra week.
Sounds good.
Which one? So, all right, friends. Thanks so much. Please like, please subscribe. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Ciao, ciao.
Goodbye, old friend. May the Force be with you.
Hey friends, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us that review, check out our extra episodes on Patreon and Apple Premium. This is the way.